All right, continuing on now, our good friend and contributor, Professor Richard Ebling here, AIER Senior Fellow, is the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Watching the stock market take a deep dive yesterday, fourth biggest drop that we've witnessed, 800 points, just over 3%. A lot of finger-pointing at the Fed as to how they've handled interest rate increases and decreases. The president taking shots, Peter Navarro taking shots. Where are we in this ongoing economy? Obviously, the trade war and tariffs have come up plenty of times. The USMCA still hangs in limbo. Many believe that it would be helpful to get that passed to move the economy forward. A lot of different moving parts, sir. Where to begin?
Well, I think that's not easy because there are several moving parts. But I think that the finger-pointing that should be done to the Federal Reserve is not quite the way that the president has been doing. It's true that the Federal Reserve has been manipulating interest rates for a long time, down and then slightly up and then down again now. But that's part of the very problem, in that by manipulating interest rates for years now, since, in fact, the recession of 2008 and even before then, the Federal Reserve has distorted financial markets. Interest rates are prices. They're supposed to balance the supply of savings with the demand to borrow for investment purposes. But the Fed has been keeping interest rates down so long, near zero, if you adjust for inflation, practically negative, that there's no price system. How much savings is there really in the economy? What are the profitable and reasonable investment projects that have been undertaken or would be undertaken or might be undertaken? We don't know. The entire financial market has been thrown out of whack. And then on top of that disorder and mismatching and distortion, you then have these matters of Trump with these tariffs. The fact is that this tariff war, in spite of what the president says, hurts Americans immensely. When he says that he's going to raise the tariffs and the Chinese are going to hurt, well, yeah, some Chinese exporters lose degrees of business, but the burden is on Americans. The tax is paid by Americans. It's just another cost of production that's tagged onto the price, which the American consumers and producers of Chinese raw materials have to incur. That makes our products more expensive, our manufacturing more costly. It is reducing our choices and availabilities, and it just burdens the American people. So all of this is sort of coming together.
So what about those that say, Professor, that the Chinese have been taking advantage, because the president's not alone in that, taking advantage of America, taking advantage of the trade deals, of tariffs and everything else, and controlling to their advantage and to our detriment many of these trading policies and practices? Has China been playing dirty, frankly?
Well, the thing is that you have to ask yourself, if the Chinese choose to artificially subsidize some of their exports to the United States, who gains and who loses? We're the gainers and have been for years. If it is true that they're selling us goods less than what really it would cost to sell them in terms of their manufacturing expenses, they've given us a gift. We've paid $8 for something that really should have been charged $10. And who's the bearer of that burden? Well, the Chinese manufacturers, the Chinese consumers, the Chinese who have had lower standards of living because their government has taxed them to defray the export subsidy costs of some favored and privileged Chinese manufacturers.
What's the point of doing it, then?
We've had a good gift horse in the mouth.
What's the point of doing it, then?
The point of doing this is that this is a false notion in many ways, which unfortunately is shared by the president, that somehow imports are bad and exports are good. Imports are the benefit. The exports are the cost. It's not the other way around.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is important.
Money.
This is important, Professor, and I value your input. But tariffs are one of the few things that are included in the United States Constitution when it comes to these sorts of things. And the people that wrote that document, I consider to be some of the most brilliant people in history that worked this out. You know, Jefferson's economic system and Adam Smith and the way they constructed that document. So why were tariffs included in the United States Constitution if they're such a bad idea?
Well, first of all, the taxes on imports can be viewed as a form of a sales tax. It's a way for the government to generate degrees of revenue. But we also know that if the government were to raise a domestic sales tax, it can act as a perverse anti-incentive. In other words, you're harming people because the government doesn't like the kind of things that they're consuming or they're purchasing. Sin taxes, for example. That's meant to be a penalty, not something that benefits you. So it's one thing to have a low sales tax and it generates revenue for the government. Having a low import duty that's uniform and generating some government revenue. But they're trying to use it as what they think is a weapon. And the weapon, in fact, shoots back at the person it's supposed to help.
So what is the best solution then? Just get rid of all because you know all tariffs are not going to go away.
They're not going to go away, but the philosophy should be, in a nutshell, that this harms Americans and it doesn't harm the Chinese as much. So, in fact, we can't really do much about what the Chinese government wants to do domestically with their own business, their own tax structure, their own export-import decisions. All we can do is not commit their same problems. What we're doing is copying their bad domestic policies with these types of tariffs. If the Chinese do something to us, they're slapping us on the face. But as one famous free market British economist once said a long time ago, to impose counter tariffs or retaliatory tariffs on them is to slap yourself on the other cheek even harder.
So my belief has always been, and maybe I'm wrong, Professor, but my belief has been since this tariff war began, this trade war began, that Donald Trump will pull these out and remove those about July 1st of 2020-ish. Maybe sooner if we get into a recession situation. If the stock market and other things indicate recession, he'll pull out earlier. He'll find a way to declare victory, say he's moved the Chinese, and then that will really grease up the economy as they head to Election Day. What do you think of that?
You might be right, but think of the premise behind that, if you will. The president of the United States acts as a capricious authoritarian ruler. I raise the import tariffs at my whim, and I lower the import tariffs at my whim. I determine the fate, the benefits, the burdens on the American people in the game that I play on the international
stage. Well, that is the way the Constitution's written. He's acting within his constitutional authority, is he not?
Not the president. These are done with executive orders. An import tax is a tax. This should be done deliberatively through Congress rather than the rule of man, the president.
I give you that, but my question to you, Professor, is he not acting within his constitutional authority by what he's doing with tariffs? Yes or no? I got about 20 seconds.
He's using what has arisen as precedent, but I think that import tax authority should be returned to Congress.
Fair point you make. Professor, that's why I appreciate you being here. Always an education. Professor Richard Ebling from the Citadel, where he's a professor of ethics and free enterprise leadership. Sir, you as always.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
There you go. Quick break. We'll be right back.
It's hiring season in the construction industry, and have they got a job for you? Find out at MichiganConstruction.com. Major companies are looking to fill positions all over Michigan. They're working on projects across the state, and so can you. If you're looking for a great place to hang your hard hat, check out MichiganConstruction.com. Apply now. You can have great pay, health care, benefits, and a future, because it just might be a career. Go to MichiganConstruction.com. That's MichiganConstruction.com, because Michigan is hiring.
Need a new approach for your health issues? Are you sick and tired of being tired and sick? Well, Wyckoff Wellness in East Lansing offers IV energy boost infusions, ozone infusions, ultraviolet blood irradiation, chelation, plus IV vitamin, mineral, and nutrient treatment. Buy a package of 5 infusions or treatments this month and save big with discount pricing. IV therapies can help improve energy, treat chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases, Lyme disease, cancer, and more. Find out more at wycoffwellness.com or call 517-333-7270.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. so I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.